The Cold War ended, at least in the traditional sense, with Russia's move away from the Soviet Union and communism and the fall of the Berlin Wall. But that clearly hasn't eliminated tension in Eastern Europe and the need for additional security through collaborations like NATO. The expansion of NATO was something that was sought by a number of nations earlier this century. Seven of those nations, including Latvia, were given membership in 2004. And one of the driving forces behind that was Latvia's first female president, Vaira Vīkē Freiberga. She is in residence in the Valley until March as part of Barrett the Honors College at ASU's Distinguished Global Leaders Series. She joined me in studio recently. I began our conversation by asking her what she thought of comments by President Trump about reducing the U.S. role in NATO.
Well, our hope is that it won't do that. We have heard, I think, in many ways, tentative ideas put forth by the president. And fortunately for the USA and for the world, he's a man who I think is able to change his mind. And this is one of the questions in which I think his position has shifted and is much more supportive of NATO now. As for me, that was one of the hardest parts of my 8 years as president. We had to convince NATO members in the 15 and the US notable among them of the wisdom and necessity of enlarging NATO. There was quite a bit of reluctance about the need to do so, or indeed about the need to pursue an alliance of that type, since the Cold War was over and presumably the world was at peace and no dangers lurked anywhere. And why should we spend money on defense? I think the climate changed, and we have to thank, in many ways, Russia's behavior for that. But before that, before the invasion of Georgia and before the invasion of annexation of Crimea, we did a lot of lobbying. And I personally, I remember 1 week in Washington where I saw 35 different congressmen and senators. I was literally running along the corridors on Capitol Hill and on these marble corridors from morning to night and trying to convince them that it would be a wise thing and in the interests of America to enlarge NATO, and even wiser to include the Baltic countries, because I always considered Latvia, Estonia and Lithuania as a geopolitical unity in terms of strategic importance.
How challenging was that to be in such a changing period of time? How difficult is leadership in those circumstances?
The leadership question is one, I think, partly of having practice in leadership. I started when I was 8 years old in the Brownies. I was immediately made troop, troop leader, you see. In between, I was president of any number of scholarly national Canadian, when I lived in Canada, Canadian and international bodies. I was vice chairman of the Science Council of Canada, apart from being a professor of psychology at the Université de Montréal. So I had practice with leadership. The practice and the experience I found invaluable. After the prima donnas that scientists and scholars can be, the prima donnas that deputies and politicians can be, were old hat to me, you know. And plus, of course, I had been a clinical psychologist early in my career, and my job was diagnostics, so that I was also trained in evaluating people's character. That helped me to for instance, to be able to tell when somebody was lying to me. Now they have fancy facial recognition programs that do that automatically, but I was lucky to have developed one myself that I carry around in my own head.
Now, the U.S., of course, has had many, many female leaders, but we still haven't had a female president. And so I wanted to ask you about that. Were there unique challenges that came from being a female in the position you were? And what do you think about the fact that the U.S., as advanced as it is in many ways, has trailed many other nations that have had major, major leaders? The leaders of these countries have been female.
I think the U.S. Really ought to think about it. It's time, you know. You've been a republic for a long time, and it's to be quite blunt about it, it's not to your credit that you never had a woman president, because democracy should demonstrate that anybody can achieve the highest post in the land. And when I was elected, I was stopped on the street, for instance, the next morning by a gentleman who said, "I am so pleased that we, it's a parliamentary election, it's not like the American one, that they had the sense to elect you as president, because I have two daughters growing up and I'd like them to have a role model to look up to."
Considering how unpredictable, maybe the world's always been unpredictable, but people think it's even more unpredictable now. Do you consider this to be an especially dangerous time in the world?
The world was dangerous at the time of the Cuban Missile Crisis. And there are various periods in recent history where we could point to tensions that could have deteriorated. Some of them have turned into full-blown conflicts, as the situation in Iraq and Syria, often unexpected, civil war in Lebanon and so forth. I think one has to be vigilant. The United Nations, in a way, have, to my understanding, a task to be not just having peacekeeping forces, but also sort of prevention of conflicts. I am pleased to serve on the jury of the Chirac Foundation, the Jacques Chirac Foundation, mm-hmm. where a prize is given two prizes each year, either to individuals or social organizations that have significant achievements in preventing conflicts. Mm. That is by far better than sort of calming the nerve once they are full-blown.
When it comes to nations being allied, whether it's economically, whether it's working against terrorism, how important is that?
I think it's crucial. This is why the North Atlantic Treaty Organization, to me, is extremely important, both for the safety of North America. After all, you had NORAD that was put together at the time of the Cold War, and I think it's a good thing it was put in place, because we saw in Crimea and in Georgia, if a door is open or doesn't look very secure, there is a temptation for somebody to walk through it. Prevention, deterrence are elements. It's like the prevention of conflicts, best to prevent them. But sadly enough, you do sometimes need to show that you do have a big stick that you can defend yourself with, and that will act as a deterrent. And generally, in the world as globalized as it is these days, doing without international collaboration, each country withdrawing within its own borders and only looking after itself, is for all practical purposes actually not possible to greater or smaller degree. Every nation on earth has interactions. They buy from others, they sell to others. And self-sufficient nations, are a thing of the past.
Well, Madam President, thanks again for coming in. Great to meet you.
You're welcome.
Vaira V.K. Freiberga was president of Latvia from 1999 to 2007. She's in residence in the Valley until next month as part of Barrett the Honors College at ASU's Distinguished Global Leaders Series.